Bettina Arndt, welcome to Outsiders.
Thank you.
So Bettina has just been invited by a group at La Trobe University to go down to that bastion of deep state political orthodoxy and argue the case based on research and facts, which are very inconvenient, that Australia's universities do not suffer from a rape culture. Yep. Tell us what happened next.
Well, we thought I was speaking in about 2 weeks' time. They'd been talking about which room I was going to use. And then suddenly this liberal club that invited me was told by the university that this event was being cancelled because my talk would clash with the strong campaign they're running against sexual violence on campus.
Yes.
And, of course, I'm saying there is no good research supporting the idea of a rape culture on campus. The feminists persuaded the Human Rights Commission last year produced data, a survey that cost us $1 million, us taxpayers $1 million, and found 0.8% of students, women students, reported some sort of sexual assault. That's including, you know, someone rubbing up against you in the train. Now, it could be not involving another student whatsoever. The most widest definition you could possibly imagine. A tiny, tiny percentage. I got the New South Wales Bureau of Crime Statistics to compare safety on universities to the rest of the community. The universities are 100 times safer than the rest of the community. The wow. evidence is just
so,
not
so,
there.
So why are they pushing, what is this agenda about this rape crisis on universities? And you know, what's the end game? Why are they pushing this line?
The end game is, we've talked about some of this before, the end game is to try to get the universities involved in investigating and trying rape cases, date rape cases. They want the universities, as has happened in America, to set up tribunals, to set up means of investigation of date rape cases because they don't believe there's enough convictions in criminal court. If you get a young man and a woman going in front of a jury, most juries won't convict the young guy unless there's really good evidence in these, you know, she says, he says sort of cases like that. And the feminists just hate that and they want more convictions. And that's why they're setting up committees on universities. They're setting up huge range of mechanisms to try to shift the balance of proof away from the criminal standard to try to get more convictions. And it's just outrageous. And we've had this a lie being perpetrated at least 2 years now that we have this real rape problem on our campuses, and no one calls it out. I mean, I was the only journalist in mainstream.
You actually wrote, didn't you?
Last year.
Good news. You wrote
great
a good news.
News
story. You said it's good news. Here, I'll read it to you. There is officially no rape crisis on our campuses. That was the headline of the story, and you went on, as you said, to show that the evidence showed that there wasn't. But now you're stopped from speaking, or they tried to stop you from speaking, because you're just saying what is the truth.
I'm saying what's the truth. The universities have systematically lied about this. Even on that day that data was released, the vice chancellors were prancing around saying, oh, we'll introduce new rape, you know, help units, 24-hour helplines, sexual consent courses on all the universities. And even now, a year later, yesterday, that across Australia, the Union of Students Women's Department sponsored an End Rape on Campus campaign. Mm. They say the universities haven't done nearly enough. Mm. And no one is calling this lie out.
I feel sorry for the very large cohort of foreign students, particularly Chinese,
yep.
who arrive in Australia from conservative Confucian families. Half of them arriving at university have never held hands with a female, and suddenly the first message they get, they're fully intimidated by the first message they get is, don't rape, you know, don't rape these women.
No,
I know you were thinking about it, but don't do it.
No, but I mean, in America where there's been tribunals, where a lot of young men have been thrown out of university, it's those nerdy guys from different cultures who are particularly vulnerable.
Wow.
So it's a really serious issue.
And we have seen, as you say, I mean, the most recent case, at Sydney University, where we had a relatively high-profile victim picked out for execution, who turned out to be the brother of a cabinet minister in the New South Wales government. And after putting this bloke through an absolute torturous ordeal, found to be completely exonerated and not guilty of any charge. You know, but that charge was brought following the encouragement of three other friends of the, you know, of the female who had arrived back, you know, to her college dorm completely inebriated and couldn't remember most of it. But
it's terribly worrying because they're defining rape as if two young people have sex and they're half pissed, you know, they've drunk too much. It's invariably rape because it's always his responsibility if the two of them are drunk. I mean, this is, if you have sons going to universities, you need to take this very seriously.
Yeah. Well, there was an Australian boy in the States who, a Sydney boy who has spent 5 years fighting the claims, taking the university, to court because it was proven that, the claim was false and he's now suing the university. Yeah. He lost a high profile job in New York. He lost, hounded off campus. So it's a very, very real threat.
It's a very real threat and it's much of your totally life. Outrageous that our university sector is kowtowing to the feminists and persisting in this lie about unsafe campuses where they should be promoting.
Well, I tell you what's even funnier, which came out today, well, not funnier, that's probably the wrong word, but it is pretty bizarre. We've now got the universities of Australia have decided that the latest protocol is that PH students may not have sex with their mentors. So we're talking about grown adults. PhD students are going to be over 25, you would think, maybe closer to 30. And if someone happens to be their lecturer or somehow taught, you know, all those romances are gone. Sex is banned between.
Which, of course, if you're talking about some of the serious science subjects where people spend 20 hours a day in the labs, where else are you going to meet somebody? I mean, if you went through the faculties and looked at how many people met their partners through that sort of
and if you're
workplace
obsessed
relationship.
About some specific little molecule, there's probably only one other person who is.
Yeah.
Absolutely shocking.
And what it produces to me, ironically, you, as a bit of a libertine, as a former, were you editor of Penthouse Letters?
Forum.
Okay, my apologies.
I taught Australia about sex.
You taught
40 years ago.
You were a woman who celebrated sexuality, and yet what we find in this new status, progressive, orthodox class is a kind of wowserism which is worthy of the sort of Puritans on the Mayflower. I see that Women's College at Sydney University, in response to this wave of Malcolm Lucy Turnbull-style bonky ban, wish to control every aspect and every decision of adult behaviour. Now, Women's College at Sydney University has banned alcohol from their weekly formal dinner. So Women's College, Sydney University, this great institute which has produced some of the most fabulous and extraordinary, strong, you know, women now are being treated like a bunch of school children who cannot have a glass of wine with dinner.
Although I must say, if we were going to look at any aspect of sexual violence, we would be looking at alcohol because that is the reason that lots of young men and women do get into trouble. And that's never discussed, of course, because we're always talking about misogynist attitudes. And in fact, it's people having too much to drink. If you look at what the research says, that is the biggest risk factor.
Well,
there you go.
Talk about how people meet each other. I mean, the alternative, which these wowsers wish to encourage, is tens of thousands of sort of hetero, you know, at the age to meet someone should spend their nights flicking through a one-second interaction.
Right. Yeah.
Then once they fix on their target, they're walking through the streets and suburbs on a Saturday night, crashing into lampposts, following a Google map to an address they're arriving at for the very first time. And that's how the millennials wish to meet their partner.
Yeah, and, the Law Reform Commission in New South Wales is being asked to look at those sort of affirmative consent, you know, where you have to give enthusiastic consent every inch of the way. And there's a real risk they will introduce those sort of laws into
And just briefly, and we've talked about the boys, the risks of the boys, but isn't it a bit weird that girls are being taught that these interactions with guys are rape, that this is rape?
They have no responsibility whatsoever to convey consent clearly. If you look at these courses that have been set up across the universities, it's all about the male doing this, the male, seeking her, interpreting her behaviour, making sure he's got this enthusiastic yes and so on. Not a word about how women should behave and the fact that women have a responsibility.
That would be misogynistic too.
No, you're never allowed to say to women how not to get raped. It's all about saying to men how Okay.
Yes.
That's right, how to rape. I mean, that men must never rape. It's all nothing to do with women's behavior, nothing to do with women drinking making up their minds about whether they want to go to bed with this man rather than getting totally drunk so that they don't have to make a decision. I mean, all the stuff that's involved in women and consent is never addressed.
They're just so, these feminists, they're just so middle class, suburban. Their vision, you know, they're concerned. If you want to talk about a rape culture's happening, you know, and there's a rape culture in remote Indigenous Australia, boys and girls, I hate to tell you. There's rape culture takes place when two countries go to war and you get a complete breakdown of governance and civic norms. But if you want to wander around Australia, there's rape culture in Cologne on New Year's Eve when you get thousands of new arrivals from a different place who actually
have very misogynist attitudes to women. I mean, that's where the link is. And in certain communities in Australia, they exist. But does our university community ever care less about what's happening to women in those communities?
Well, thank you, Bettina Arndt, as always, and well done that you're now allowed to speak.
We'll see. But I want to speak on campuses across Australia. That's the plan.
That's what we want to see, campuses.
In a moment, I want to look at free speech, which is something that our universities don't seem to believe in anymore. We're going to speak to social commentator and psychologist Bettina Arndt. And Ms. Arndt had planned to give a speech at La Trobe Uni. When the university found out the content of her speech, it cancelled it. The university has now reluctantly reinstated the speech, but says it will offer free counselling to any students traumatised by what Bettina Arndt has to say. Quite honestly, I mean, if today's young generation, uni students, 18, 19, 20, 21, voluntarily choose to turn up to a speech and need trauma counselling afterwards, they are absolutely going to not cope when it comes to the real world post-university. That's why they're called the snowflake generation. Well, social commentator and psychologist Bettina Arndt joins us right now. Bettina, good afternoon.
Hi, Tom.
Now, I really want to talk about, you know, the issue of free speech and why students might need counselling if they hear you speak. But what is the guts of this talk you plan to give at La Trobe Uni?
Oh, look, I wanted to talk about the issue of whether there is a rape crisis on university campuses. We've seen feminist activists promoting this idea for years now. And eventually they persuaded the Human Rights Commission, that was exactly a year ago, the Human Rights Commission released their $1 million survey, which was attempting to prove there was a rape crisis on our campuses. And they found nothing. They found 0.8% a year female students claim to have been sexually assaulted. That included, you know, someone rubbing up against them on the tram. It wasn't just on campus. It included involvement with someone other than a university student or staff, totally not on campus as well. And it was the broadest possible definition. And I wrote an article for The Australian at the time saying, hooray, you know, we've got very safe campuses. And I actually found data from the New South Wales Bureau of Crime Statistics did an analysis for me and found that universities in New South Wales were 100 times safer than the general community.
Right.
And that's for no reason why it wouldn't apply elsewhere.
So what you're saying is that the chance of being sexually assaulted at the university is very low. It is perhaps less likely than just in general public life, and that therefore there is no alleged rape crisis at universities.
Yes, but even when those results were released, most of the mainstream media totally ignored that evidence. They bought into the campaigners' view that there was still a big problem. Vice chancellors around the country ignored the data and said, yes, we're going to introduce all these measures to deal with sexual assault. We're going to have units on each campus, you know, for people to report to, 24-hour helplines, compulsory sexual consent courses on all universities. And they've implemented all these new millions of dollars worth of new measures, and still it's not enough, and still we had yesterday there was a protest from around the country, end rape on campuses.
Righto.
Delusional, these people.
Well, yes, it's not the first time groups of university students have been delusional. It just seems to me they're delusional in a different way to what they used to be on about. Now, okay, so you approach, or you were approached by the Liberal Club at La Trobe Uni to give a talk. Is it true that the university initially said that you would not be allowed to give this talk?
Yes, they came back. I mean, the talk was scheduled for 2 weeks' time on the 14th, and it all looked fine, and the students had been told that, you know, yes, they were organising a venue and so on, and then suddenly the administrators came back and said that I wasn't allowed to do it because my talk would conflict with this, with the strong campaign they're running against violence on sexual violence on campus.
Right. Okay. So your talk is simply to say, here are the actual facts and figures as revealed by this survey. There isn't a rape crisis, and the university said, no, you're not allowed to say that. Your talk is cancelled.
That's right. Okay. And so I wrote back to them and said, well, you know, I have a, you know, I wrote a series of questions saying, what's the evidence for the rape crisis? You know, and put, and asked them to justify this decision. And And I told them I was going to write about it, and they eventually backed down. Which
so, right, so the talk is going ahead in a couple of weeks?
Well, we think we've actually put it off a few weeks because we don't know where, you know, anything. They also said that they might be, they'll be probably charging the students money for extra security, and of course we know what that can mean.
Right. Now, I'm told also, speaking of money, that the university has said that it will finance trauma counselling for any students who choose to attend your talk and are so offended by what they hear that they need counselling afterwards.
Well, when I was on the phone to one of the administrators who was making this decision, he mentioned that to me, and he said, look, we're going to have to look into whether we can have the resources to provide counselling for people who get upset by your talk. I mean, they want counselling for people who get that upset at me saying there isn't a problem, the universities are safe.
Yes, that's right. So if someone says there's a terrible problem and none of you are safe to leave your rooms, that's okay.
Yes.
But if you
that's
say,
okay.
No, the figures say there is no problem, then students need trauma counselling to deal with the fact that there is no problem.
But, of course, I'm calling out this feminist campaign and the fact that universities have kowtowed to this campaign and are deluding themselves and persuading students that our universities are unsafe and that they need all these measures to protect the women. I mean, I just think this is just appalling, this campaign, and the fact that our whole university sector is too afraid of these social activists to take them on.
So just before I let you go, I mean, is the concept of free speech, of people turning up and saying what they want to say, with, you know, within the grounds of what is legal and what is not, is that pretty much dead at modern-day universities?
Oh, absolutely. We see example after example of this, and that's why I'm keen to get out there and talk about this issue. I've been writing about this issue for, you know, decades, really, and particularly tracking this campaign that's been running for the last few years in Australia. And it's really important that we expose the fact that it's telling a lie about our universities, the place we send our young people. And why was this lie perpetuated? How is it in the interest of our cash-strapped universities to put off families in India and China who might think of sending their daughters here? I mean, this is just madness.
That's a good point. All right, thank you, Bettina. Bettina Arndt there, social commentator. We'll stay in touch and see how your talk goes in a few weeks' time at La Trobe Uni. But imagine this. So they do a survey to try and prove that sexual assault is rampant at university. The survey comes back and actually says it is not. And I've spoken to Bettina Arndt about that before. That goes against the official view, the politically correct view, that no, university is a very dangerous place to be at these days, particularly for women. Bettina Arndt calls it out, and the university's first reaction is to ban her from speaking. And then when she insists on her right to free speech, the university says, well, we will offer students trauma counselling. Counselling! To go to a voluntary talk! Unbelievable. Again, the snowflake generation.